You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Welcome everyone online. Great to see you all here. If you're happy and you know it, go ahead and clap your hands. It's an old song. If you're happy and you know it, then you really ought to show it. So, I don't know if you, the sign you're happy is your neighbor can tell. You can't have happiness so deep. I'm happy, but it's deep down. It's so deep. No one has seen my happiness for decades, but I have it. It's just really deep. You know, there's something about joy when it actually is in your life. It actually reflects on your countenance. I've even said when loved ones pass away, those who know the Lord, you can see almost a radiance even on a corpse. And you got people who are living and breathing who look miserable. So look at your neighbor, smile at them. Say, if you love the Lord, smile. It just changes the atmosphere. Well, let's all stand if you're physically able. If you can't stand physically, that's fine. But if you can, let's stand, because we're going to pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you have to say. We want to be ears wide open, hearts wide open. We're receptive to everything you say. Thank you, Lord, for every person in this room, in the worship auditorium, every parent, everyone who's listening to you, Lord. As they hear my voice, let them hear your word. And as they hear my words, let them hear your voice. Thank you for this series, Lord, this Why series that has strengthened conviction, awakened revelation, and stirred passion. So, Father, I pray, do it again. Do it again. Do it today. Do it at 11 a.m. right here in Canningvale. Do it in the front row. Do it in the back row. Do it in the side sections. Do it everywhere there's good soil. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Go on. Give the Lord one more praise as you do. Please feel free to take your seats. It is the last week of our Why series. It's been going on for a while, but this is the last week. And I hope it has blessed you. These are some of the messages you've heard, depending on which campus in Canningvale. I'm not sure which ones you heard here, but these were some of the messages that were preached across the city and across the globe. Why pray? Why serve? Why forgive? Why connect? Why sing? I think we need to do that again because a lot of people don't sing. Why communion? Why revival? Why worship? Why fast? Why the Bible? Why give? Why witness? Why discipleship? Why testify? Why hope? Why tithe? Why Jesus? Why gather? Why praise? Why sacrifice? Why tongues? Why suffering? Why encounter? And others. And today I want to end the entire series because I want to speak about why repent. Why repent? It's your chance to be a prophet. Look at your neighbor, say, repent. You know, for many people, repentance feels like a dirty word. Maybe an awkward word is a better way to put it. Because it's associated with climbing out of a hole you got yourself into, doing the wrong thing. And the image or feeling is often one of shame or embarrassment. And so repentance is just something for those who messed up when you first got saved. But I've got news for you today. Repentance is a gift from God. Have you considered his wonderful gift of repentance? It's a gift. When you receive a gift, you don't feel shame. You don't feel embarrassed. You don't feel awkward. In fact, you feel happy. You feel humbled. You feel privileged. And you know, there's nothing better than someone who knows you and loves you and thinks about the gift you would like. And then with you in mind, designs a gift. Well, God, with you and I in mind, designed a gift called repentance. And he said, I want to give this to humanity as a gift because it's going to rescue them. It's going to help them. It's going to save them. And just like when you, in the natural, receive a gift, you don't think of shame or embarrassment. Equally, by the end of today, I hope and pray that you see repentance completely differently. You see it as, wow, God, this is a gift you gave me. And the reason a lot of us don't use the gift of repentance is because we don't see it as a gift. And we don't know how to use it even if it was, and we're not exactly sure what it's for. But before we look at why we repent, we need to look at what it actually means to repent. The word repent in the Greek is metaneo, which literally means to change your mindset and change your direction. Change your mind and change your walk. Change your thinking and change your movement. It's not just I have a bad feeling for my sin. Oh, I feel bad that you feel bad. I guess I repented. No, to repent is to turn around to higher ground, to turn around and walk towards the Father in an opposite direction. Change your mind and change your direction. A lot of people change their mind but don't change their direction. It's not real repentance. That's momentary regret. Real repentance means you literally turn around and walk the other way. Probably the best story that pictures it is the prodigal son who had a moment in the pig pen. And I want to read it just so you catch it. Jesus continued, Luke 15, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. You know you're in a bad place when you're longing. Anyone here craving pigs' food? He longed to fill his stomach with the pods, not coffee pods. These aren't nice pods. Press a button and aroma. No. The pods that the pigs ate. He wasn't eating pig. It's not bacon. He's not eating. He's trying to eat what the bacon is supposed to be eating. And even the pigs are not letting it. You're in a bad way when the pigs don't share their food with you. No one gave him anything. But then the gift of repentance kicked in. Verse 17. When he came to his senses, that's a great phrase. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up, essentially turned around and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. That's what the gift of repentance should trigger. When you truly repent, it triggers a party. It triggers celebration. That story is a beautiful story, and I want you to note a couple of things. The father does not run after you, but he will run toward you. When the son left the house and walked his way into his own personal hell, the father didn't go, oh, there he goes. He let him walk. You know why? Because God respects your free will. That's why God doesn't send anybody to hell. You go there all by yourself. Because he so honors the free will he gave you. But he did everything he can to help you turn around. He put a cross in the middle of the highway to hell and said, I died for your sin. Repent. Turn around and walk towards the Father. And the minute the Father saw the Son afar off, he took off. He knew where the Son was all along. He's the Father. But he only runs towards those who run toward him. Why? Because he will not violate your free will. That's why repentance is so powerful. God goes, how do I get them to turn around? I'm going to give them a gift called turn around. It's called repent. It's called change your mind, change your direction. In other words, what a great gift this is. God said, I'm not going to leave you if you start down a road of addiction, a road of pain, a road of whatever. I'm not just going to leave you saying, bad luck, you chose your path, that's the rest of your future. I'm going to give you a gift. And in this gift, if you open it, you actually have the cognitive and bandwidth ability to stop, to turn around, and to face the other way, change your mind, change your direction, and start walking back towards God and His ways. What a gift. What a gift. So you don't have to remain lost. So why repent? Here's a better way to frame it. Why did God give us the gift of repentance? I'm glad you asked. Number one, to remove sin, guilt, and shame. To remove sin, guilt, and shame. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore. Everyone say, repent. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. God does not forgive everybody's sin. Have you heard that? It wasn't complete. He died for everybody. And He died so that all your sin could be forgiven. But He doesn't forgive everybody's sin. He forgives those who repent. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So people go, well, if God died for me, I guess He'll forgive me anyway. No, 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 no. You have to repent. But He gave you the gift to repent. So it's genuinely God's way of saying, I don't want you to live with this. Let's start with ground zero. Everyone needs His gift because everyone has sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Everyone needs His gift. The problem is we have sin in different categories. Oh, that's a big sin. That's a horrible sin. I'd never be like that. So compared to them, I'm not really a sinner. And so I don't use the gift of repentance because they're the ones that really need the gift of repentance. And so as a result, we live with sin, we live with shame, we live with guilt. But because it's not magnified or big enough or dramatic enough to we go, oh, that's really bad. We actually live often with residue. We live with stuff. And yet God says, listen, you don't need to live with that sin. You don't need to live with that shame. You don't need to live with that guilt. See, the son felt bad. He decided to, I'm going to turn around and go back to my father's house. And understandably, he came with a lot of shame and he came with a lot of guilt. And the father said, nothing doing. Because you repent, I take away not just your sin. I take away your shame. I take away your stain. I take away your guilt. And God today will remove everybody's sin in this entire room if we repent. That's good news. The problem is we have pride. We don't want to admit we're wrong. See, making mistakes is part of being human. Getting it wrong was expected. That's why we needed a savior. The problem in our generation is not that we get it wrong, is that we removed wrong. There's no such thing as wrong. I don't like feeling wrong because I get it wrong so much. So I'm going to start calling it my right. Preference, my choice, it's my thing. And so what we've done is we don't want God's gift of repentance. We prefer our gift of denial, our gift of justification, our gift of this is who I am, our gift of that's just what they made me do it, our gift of explanation. And we have left the gift of repentance unopened because I don't need to repent. I'm not wrong. It's how I choose to live. It's just me. That is really sad because what we end up doing is we slowly grow more and more disconnected from the joy and the peace that should come from God. It actually takes humility to say, you know what, God? I get it wrong a lot. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for the gift of repentance. Wow, if not for your gift of repentance, I'd be stuck in my sin, in my shame, in my guilt. But Lord, I know you, I don't know if you're mad at me, but God, I repent and I thank you. I utilize this gift of repentance. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for changing me. Help me to change my mind. Help me to change my direction. I will follow you. David in the Bible, you know his story. He's probably my favorite character apart from Jesus in the scripture. And he was just phenomenal on so many fronts, but there was dark seasons in his life, including the big one where he messed up, he should have been at war, he stayed at home, he committed adultery, he spiritually abused the husband by manipulating him into taking his own death notice to the battlefield, getting himself killed. I mean, it was horrible as far as sins go. It was just shocking way beyond. It had layers and levels to it that were so bad. And yet finally, when the prophet confronted him and said, David, you're that man, he didn't excuse himself. He didn't justify himself. He said, it's me. Psalm 51, 7:12. He said, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. That's a beautiful prayer of repentance. That's a man who was literally stuck with sin, shame, and guilt, but because he accessed the gift of repentance God gave him, he was restored and all the sin, the shame, and the guilt was removed from him. And I want to tell you, why are you living with the pain and the shame and the stain of what you did 20 years ago, 5 years ago? Genuinely repent. The reason most of us live with it is we partially repent. We don't fully repent. We say things like, God, I shouldn't have done that, but really it was their fault. And we wonder why we're still living with a bit of shame. No, just go to God and say, God, it doesn't matter who did what to you. Father, I've held unforgiveness for too long. I've got to let it go. I've held that pain way too long. I'm going to let it go. Because do you know unforgiveness is a sin? Pride is a sin. Not just murder and hate and stealing and lying. Everything that you hold in your heart that separates you from the Lord is a sin. And when you truly repent, some of us have just associated repentance with people at the altar crying with snot, making a mess, and the Christians is going, wonder what they did. It's terrible. That is not what repentance is. And so we stay away from repentance because you're like, oh. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you truly repented? 1997 in the revival. That's a problem. If any man says, I've never needed to repent, that's your first sin. Here's the test. Do you feel the removal of all the shame, all the stain, all the sin? If that is totally gone, it means you've accessed repentance. Here's the second reason we should repent, to restore joy and peace. He doesn't just want to remove the sin, guilt, and shame. He wants to restore the joy and peace. You heard David say, restore to me the joy. Can I tell you, I've got some great news for you. Salvation comes with joy. Salvation comes with peace. If you've ever met a Christian who is genuinely saved and continually miserable, something's not right. Let me put it to you more diagnostically. If you have lost your joy and you're saved, you've probably not used the gift of repentance properly. Because when you repent, joy is restored. When you repent, peace is restored. Acts 3:19, we read it. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And what? Times of refreshing. The whole idea of repenting is not that I don't feel bad anymore. I should get an infusion of joy and peace. And always be careful of the older brother in the prodigal who is miserable over your joy. You got saved, you were happy, you were on fire. And someone's like, well, they have people. Why had no need to have a party? Don't get carried away. It's not like you've changed the world. And be careful. The older brother in the story will always try and shut down the joy that comes with salvation, the joy that comes with repentance. Why do they go to that happy, clappy church and sing songs and act like everything's all fine? They don't really live in the real world. What, you want me to be miserable like you so we can be saved together? I don't mean we're always going to be happy, but if you're continually miserable, you haven't really repented, because true repentance restores joy. Real repentance restores peace. And again, I want to submit to you that maybe the reason we don't feel the infusion of joy and peace we should feel is because we half repent. And even on this, the smaller thing, we're like, I don't have any big sins. The smallest sin will cause you to lose your joy and peace. But the beauty is you don't have to go kill a cat. I mean, I know some people wouldn't be against sacrifices, but you don't have to go slit an animal's throat. You just have to come before the Lord and say, Father, I truly repent. Now, when you repent, let me give you some practices. This is how I sort of repent. I'll give you a clue. And I can't tell you exactly how I do it, because that's the thing about repentance, is between you and God. Your repentance is not a group chat. So don't have to act all, holy and posture the right emojis. Just be raw. And when you talk to the Lord, tell him exactly, because he knows anyway. So I repent like this. You know, people, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Lord, for that time I gossiped. And God, I just hate gossiping. And no, that's a lie. You love gossiping. That's why you do it. If you hated gossip, you wouldn't. So say it like this. Father, I'm so sorry. I love gossiping. I just love it. I love talking about it. But God, I don't like how I feel after it. After I'm done, I feel terrible. So God, I pray you take away my love for gossip. That's real repentance. Don't pretend you don't. Oh God, I hate my sin. No, you don't. You love it. That's the problem. Lord, my mother-in-law, God. Oh, Lord, I honor her. No, you don't. You hate her. That's the problem. Father, I'm really struggling with her. I can't handle the way she does. But Jesus, give me your love for her, please. I repent of my bitterness and my anger and my resentment. That is real repentance. Come before the Lord and, like David, create in me a clean heart, oh God. I want the joy back. I want the peace back. I want your times of refreshing back. That's what real repentance would look like. In fact, I look at it this way. Repentance is like a joy locator. Where did I lose my joy? Like the axe head in 2 Kings. I think it was here. Oh, yeah. That conversation, that night, oh man, I did something, oh man. And then because I don't like feeling wrong, I just pretended. See, some of us don't repent, we just move on. Move on may make you feel less pain, but real repentance will bring back true joy. Well, if this is enough time from that incident, I'll just hopefully, time heals. No, it doesn't. Time does not heal. Jesus heals. Confession heals. Repentance heals. The blood of Christ heals. This is a message you heard in 1995, but it's coming to you in 2024 because it's a gift that we should all access daily. Not just for bad thoughts or bad things or bad feelings or bad words, but God, help me. Help me to have that sense of joy and peace that comes from knowing you. I want that back. So why do we repent? To remove the sin, the shame, and the guilt, to restore joy and peace, and number three, finally, to renew your mind to God's setting. What does that mean? This may be the most important part of repentance. We understand the first and the second part a bit, but this one might change everything if you really get it. So I need you to focus. Matthew 4:17, Jesus said, he began to preach from that time. Listen, this is Jesus' main sermon for 3 years. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yeah. All right, good message, Jesus. Coming to the 5 p.m., what are you going to say tonight? Tonight's message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. July, repent, for the kingdom. He talked about a lot of things, but in essence, this is the summary of his message. And you're like, but how many times can I get over my sin? Lord, I've already said sorry for everything I've done. Okay, I'll continue to ask for your forgiveness every day. No. The word repent, to change your mind, to change your direction, is God actually inviting you to a higher place where he says, change the way you think, change the way you see, change where you see from, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the kingdom of heaven? God's world, his reality, his ways, his mechanism. It's now within your reach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but you're not going to be able to access it unless you repent. What do you mean repent? Say sorry? Yes, Lord. I say sorry, but Lord, I'm willing to change the way I think. I'm willing to change what I see. The word repent is, interestingly enough, we talked about the Greek. The word repent in English, is made up of two phrases, repent. Re means to go back, to revert, to rewind, to return. It means to go back. Pent is the prefix for the top. A penthouse is the top house. When your anger is all pent up, it is at its highest level. So to repent is to go back to the top. Literally, it means that repent may not just be a change of direction laterally, but a change of direction vertically. You and I have access through this gift to go back to the top. What's the top? Where God is, where God lives, where God dwells. Think like he thinks. See what he sees. The Lord said to my Lord, Psalm 110, sit at my right hand until your enemies become your footstool. The Lord is inviting you to his level, his perspective, his vantage, his view, because everything looks different from where he lives. And if we would change our thinking, change our direction and say, Lord, in everything in my life, I want to repent. I want to go back to the top. All of a sudden, my whole life is different. Let me give you the most natural explanation I can give you. In KL, our apartment is on level 14, called level 13A for superstitious reasons. But level 13A or 14 is 14 floors higher than the ground. So when you go to where I live and you look, it looks so much more calm. Things look more peaceful. You can see further. You can see the bigger picture. You can't see the same vantage from ground floor. But what happens is every now and then I come down to G and I mix with mere normal people. I'm joking. I'm making an analogy. And I do what I do and then I go, well, this was fun. And then I get back into the lift and then I go all the way back to 14. And I go, wow. That's how the Lord wants us to live. You're meant to live in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places. You're right here on earth, but you're meant to be thinking a different way. And all of us have sinned. All of us will occasionally go down to G, say some things, do some things, react in a way and go, oh man. But then you know what you have to do? Repent. Repent, go back to the top. A lot of people live at ground floor. Occasionally come to conference, have worship moments and go, wow, I had a level 13A experience. Oh, when is Mike Maiden coming back next? And we've enjoyed our little level 14 moment and then we go back to where we really live. How about you change address and live at 14A? You don't need a sermon or a conference. Live repented. Go back to the top. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is within your grasp. And when we talk about looking from the top, I want to tell you, God's perspective is always different to my perspective, always different to your perspective. So let's think about this. From God's perspective, look at yourself. Not from your perspective, not when you look in the mirror, from God's perspective, from 13A. See, when I'm looking at myself, I'm like, oh, I'm terrible. I'm horrible. I've got justification. I've got excuses. Nobody gets me. But then when I look from God's perspective, what does the Lord say about you? He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're his child, that he cares about you, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. You're not an addict. You're not a nobody. You're not what your mean parent said or your horrible school teacher said. Or that ex so-and-so, whoever did, that's not who you are. Stop seeing yourself the way you see you or others see you. See yourself the way God sees you. It shouldn't make you arrogant. It shouldn't make you proud. It should make you so genuinely broken and humble, saying, God, I thank you. You took dust and dirt and breathed into it. You died on a cross. You forgave me. You know, there's a moment, I think the prodigal had this moment in the pig pen. He literally was eating the pods going, and then the Bible says when he came to his senses, meaning he sort of had an aha moment like, have you ever done anything? And then 2 seconds later thought, what did I do that for? Oh my gosh, why did I send that text? Why did I write that email? Why did I just react like that? You know what you just had? A repentant moment. You just had a moment where you got into the lift and instead of ground floor, you went a little high and you thought, oh my gosh. You're better than that. You shouldn't get caught in that. You're a son of the Most High God. You're a princess. You're a daughter of the King. What are you doing that? See, he had a moment and he thought, I belong in my Father's house. What am I doing in this cellar? And he started to walk towards the Father's house and the Father said, there's someone who's repented. And the Father ran toward him and said, you're my son, you're my daughter. I'll take you back anytime. Why? Because I gave you a gift. I was hoping you'd use it before the pig pen, but at least you opened it up then. At least you turned around. At least you changed your mind. At least you changed your direction. At least you got on the lift and saw yourself the way I see you. You know, the 12 spies went out to kill the giants or to spy on the land. Only Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. The other 10 came back with a report like this. They were so big. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. In other words, they openly said, we're tiny. They're massive. Stop seeing yourself as tiny. See yourself the way God sees you, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. I know you're under some attack. I know you're going through some challenge. I know there's stuff happening, but stop seeing yourself at ground zero. Say, Father, today, before I get out of bed, I want to see me the way you see me. It'll save you from conversations, spaces, places, decisions, and people. It doesn't make you superior or arrogant. It just makes you go, God, I'm a child of the King. You've done so much for me. How and why? Why am I getting caught in that stuff? I promise you it'll change everything. You know, I think some people get caught in habitual sin and do the same thing over and over again and keep saying sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. 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 And we think we're repenting. That's not repenting. That's repeating. Doing the same thing over and over again is not repenting, is repeating. The reason is, instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, I mean, change your mind, change your direction, go higher and say, God, I want to actually see myself differently, because when I see me the way you see me, when I see others the way you see them, see, from level 13A, you look different, others look different. Others look different. Some of us see ourselves from 13A, but we see everyone else from ground floor. No, but you need to have the same compassion for them. Who are you angry at right now, mad at, insecure about, jealous of, struggling with, wish you could kill them? You're not telling us, but it's happening. Or you're wishing that something would happen to them. Get in the lift and say, Father, help me to see them the way you see them. And then all of a sudden, you're filled with compassion. You're kinder. And you know, the thing about this is Jesus, this is how he was. When the woman with infirmity, the woman with the issue of blood came and touched him, everyone else from ground floor looked at her and said, dirty woman, unclean woman, who does she think? She's violating the law, she shouldn't be here. Jesus heals her and says, daughter. He called her daughter. I remind you, Jesus wasn't married and he had no kids. Depending on who you believe, some say the woman was older than Jesus. Would you call an older woman daughter? Only if you saw her the way the Father saw her. Everything Jesus did, I only do what I see the Father do. I say what I hear the Father say. His perspective was 13A all the time. Even when he was getting nailed to the cross, in the moment they're nailing him to the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. Most of us, if someone was nailing us to anything, we'd need a year of wholeness, a year of deliverance, a year of freedom. We'd need 7 churches later, deal with our church hurt, finally get over our problems, and then consider maybe I'll be a carrier again. Jesus, in the minute, says, Father, forgive them. He's on ground floor, literally about to go under the ground, but he lived at 13A. He lived. You know, when you live repentant, see, that's what God was saying. This is a gift I've given you. I've given you a gift that will not only remove your sin, will not only restore your joy, it'll actually help you renew your mind. In fact, the key verse for this is Romans 12:2. You know this verse. It says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. But listen, this is the key. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. Change your mind. Renew your thinking. It'll change your life. And what does that mean? Renew your thinking simply means start to think what God thinks. Well, how do I know what God thinks? It's in His Word. It'd be amazing what happens if we read His Word, we digest His Word. We read the news, we read social media, we read pop culture, we read the politicians, we listen to all sorts of input, but how much of the Word do we put into our hearts? Because the way you renew your mind is to say, I want to believe what the Lord believes, I want to see what the Lord sees, I want to say what the Lord says, I want to hear what the Lord hears. That is the way your life is radically transformed. And He gave you a gift. He said, you don't have to live the same way forever. You can repent. You can go back to the top. You can go back all the way and start to see yourself different, see others different. You can see circumstances different. So you can see situations different, not just people, Even the challenges you face, you see different. How do you see that health report? How do you see that certain challenge? In fact, I've got two pictures here. I want you to look at them. The first picture is a picture of a building from the ground floor. From the ground floor, the building looks massive. And that's how you might feel right now. You might go, man, that's how my debt feels. My financial burden feels like this. The relational tension in my family feels like this. The sense of future feels like this. The hopelessness, the intimidation feels like this. That person in your life that's bugging you feels like this. And it feels horrible. Because from the ground, everything's horrible, but God gave you a gift. It was to repent. And if you got in a plane and you flew above the same buildings that look like this will now look like this. Wow. Which challenge are you talking about again? How are you going this week? I heard you had a massive problem. Yeah, which one was that? I don't know. See, the buildings didn't shrink. You just went higher. You just repented. God was not after, his whole ministry wasn't, tell me your sin, tell me your sin, tell me your sin. Of course, when you truly confess, he'll forgive you. He'll remove the sin. He'll remove the shame. He'll restore the joy. But the real goal is to take you high enough. You know, we pray, Lord, remove the mountain. Get rid of the hill. Change that situation. But what if he doesn't? Or what if he doesn't do it on your time? What if he takes way longer than you would like to answer the prayer that you want answered? What if you've come forward to the front for countless altar calls and you're still waiting for that relative to come home? You're still waiting for that healing to kick in? You're still waiting for that finance to... Well, God, I wish you... And he says, just repent. My kingdom is at work. And you can see the same thing with a whole different sense of peace. Do you know... When two people argue over a problem, don't ever try and resolve it. They're both correct. Have you ever sat and heard two people argue about the same storm? It's so big. It's so bad. You don't understand. We're going to die. That's not that big a deal. I know it's bad, but it's... No, you don't understand. They're both right. They're just arguing from different heights. One is repented, the other one isn't. So Jesus is in the storm. He's sleeping. Peter's like, you don't care about us. We're going to die. It's massive, the storm. Jesus is like, I'm trying to sleep. Leave me alone. Same storm. Have you seen two siblings in the same storm handle it so differently? It's a question of, and God said, I've given everyone the key. It's called repent. Just come back to the top. Your sins will be forgiven. Your joy will be restored. Your perspective will be healed. And there will always be some challenges going on. But see it the way I see it, and the sting of the enemy will be removed from your soul. You'll begin to run and not grow weary, because they that wait upon the Lord, they will rise up. They will rise up. They will rise up. They go higher. That thing you're yelling about is actually not that big a deal. The thing you're mad about is actually not that big a deal. I'm not minimizing the problem. I'm just saying, let's go higher. Let's start to see what the Lord sees. Let's start to feel what the Lord feels, because I promise you, it'll change everything. And when you understand this, you won't, you know, if repentance truly means to go higher, to change my mind, to move not only vertically, but horizontally. If that's literally God's gift to me and to you today, here's what you should do. Repent before, not after. Think about it. Repent before. What do you mean? Well, if you start the day before you get out of bed, Lord, everyone I'm about to meet, I want to see them the way you see them. Every circumstance I'm going to face that I don't even know is coming my way, I want to see it the way you see it. I want to see it from, I want to go back to the top. I want to start from the top. Any human and any situation, let me repent. And I want to repent before, Lord. For example, you go to your family function. I'm not having good families, but we all know what extended family functions. There's a crazy uncle, a crazy cousin, the triggering auntie, and somebody else. And when you go to that function, you know what's going to happen. In the car, on the way home, oh, I told you, I never want to go there again. Like, thank God it's only once a year. Like, and you're going to have to repent after for the way you talked, the way you thought, and the way you reacted. Or you could repent before. What do you mean repent before? Say sorry for my... No. Go higher. Go higher. Father, that crazy uncle, to me he's a crazy uncle, but to you he's a broken son. That triggering cousin, she annoys me at ground floor, but from here, Lord, you're just working on her. And all of a sudden you have this compassion and peace that you, on your own strength, you will never have. What am I doing? I'm repenting before I go. And then I go and I'm like, that's all right. Same thing that would normally trigger me. I'm just going, your mother doesn't bother me anymore, honey. Really? I actually have great compassion for her. You're like, what happened to you? No, I just live at 13. Hey, I see her. She's just on her own journey, just like I'm on my journey. If you don't repent before, you will repent after. So you pick when. Before you confront that person, repent. Before. God, how do you see this person that I'm about to challenge? Oh, that's how you see them. Okay. Before you discipline your child, repent. Or you'll repent after for the way you yelled at them. Before you plan your budget for 2024, repent. God, help me to see finances the way you see finances. And when I get your perspective on it, I'll make the right decisions. If you don't repent before, you'll repent after. Young man, before you log onto your computer and scroll through your phone at night, repent. If you don't repent before, you'll be repenting after. And to be fair, I've got to use both genders. Ladies, before you go shopping, repent. Before you go shopping. Or you'll be repenting after. I didn't know it cost that much and I'm so sorry, honey. We're in debt again. No. And that's very unfair because some guys are worse on shopping than girls. And some girls have phone addictions too. So I don't want to create new fights. But the point is, God has given you a gift. He gave you the ability to renew your mind, to think like He thinks. It will save you a lot of pain. It'll save you a lot of shame. And if you found yourself like the prodigal in a moment, you can turn around and today's your day. Why don't we all stand? Come on, let's stand across this auditorium. You know, if I told you today, the church in Perth is going to repent, people are going to go, whoa, what happened? Whew. Tell me the goss. No, wrong. The only ones who don't repent today are those with pride. In fact, here's a good way to come to church every week. Father, today give me something to repent of. Today, give me something to take my thinking higher. Give me something where, Lord, if there's anything in my heart that separated me from you, I want to get it right with you. There's something about repentance that is so beautiful. You know, Romans 2:4, the last verse. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing, listen, that the kindness of God leads us to repentance. God is not up in heaven, mean and angry. He's kind. He's saying, young woman, young man, older man, older woman, I gave you a gift. It's called the gift of repentance. So you don't feel trapped. You don't feel like you're on a one-way road to hell. You can turn around and you can have your sins forgiven, your shame removed, your stain cleansed. Just be humble enough to acknowledge your need for me. Young man, older woman, I want to restore unto you the joy that comes from salvation. I've given you a key for your joy. I've given you a key for your peace. Turn around and times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Young man, young woman, older man, older woman, listen to me carefully. The Lord says, I have got a higher way for you to see things. I want you to start to think differently. I want you to repent. I want you to see that challenge different. I want you to see your family different. I want to see your problems different. Go higher because I have a plan for your life and you're not to live with that anxiety. In a moment, I'm going to ask anybody who wants to follow the Lord to genuinely repent. If you're an unbeliever or just on a journey or you feel like there's distance with you and the Lord, there's no shame because this is a gift today. This is a gift. You get to respond to God. And you know what? The Father doesn't run towards those in their seat. He runs towards the one walking towards Him. That's the Father. That is my God. That is the God you serve. But I realized after doing this church thing for a while, this ministry thing for a while, I realized that God is not looking for acceptance. Sometimes I used to use this language, you know, who would like to accept Jesus? Nothing wrong with the language. I understand the heart. Who would like to accept Jesus? And I realized Jesus is pretty secure. He's not peering from heaven going, please, somebody there, accept me. He's very accepted. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of all creation. He's accepted. He's not looking for acceptance. He's looking for followers. He's not looking, will you accept Him today? No, will you follow Him? Why does He want a follower? Because He wants to lead you out of your misery. He wants to lead you through the paths of life that cause you the pain and cause you the problem. If you say, Lord, I will follow You in every area of my life, in my finance, in my health, in my relationships, in my heart, in my thinking, in everything that I do, I will follow You. And Lord, if there's an area I'm not following You, I turn around to higher ground. I turn around, I will follow You. So come on, right now, whether you're a believer or not, before I give you the invitation to respond, why don't we lift holy hands towards heaven? Why don't we say, God, today I come. Let the church repent today. Let the church say, I will turn around. Let the church say, God, I'm not gonna follow the ways of the world. I'm gonna follow You. From the front to the back, from the left to the right, come on, let's lift holy hands and sing.
I will follow You.
Online, I will follow You.
I will follow You.
I turn around.
I turn around.
To higher ground. In every area.
I will follow.
Come on, if you mean it, sing, I will follow You.
I will follow You.
All the days of my life, I will follow. Holy Spirit, grace each one. Come on, go ahead. Go ahead and sing a song to the Lord. Begin to release it. I give You thanks, Lord. Come on, let the church honor Him. Let the church honor Him.
You are worthy.
I just saw a picture. I saw, like, you know, if they were at a kids with kids everywhere. We had all these presents and all these kids were there. I said, kids, there's a present at the front. Who wants? Run to the front. Kids would flock. They would run. But because we get so adult, we forget that repentance is a gift and we get slow to respond. But I want to tell you this morning, I feel this in my heart so strong. I don't want anybody to leave with sin, shame, or guilt. In fact, you might say, I'm not even done anything that bad, but I know that I don't have my joy. I lost my joy. I lost my peace. Well, today in a moment, see, normally we get everyone to close their eyes. We get everyone to, and that's good. That's, by the way, I think that's good. It's sort of, we don't, because we say we don't want to embarrass anyone, but there's no embarrassment. Are you kidding me? This is a gift. This is a gift. What's the embarrassment? It's, you know, this is God's gift. So here's what I want us to do in a moment. I want, if you're saying, you know what, today's my day, I am so happy. You might go, oh, this is really awkward. No, it's not. It's only awkward if you don't see repentance as a gift. God's saying, listen, come and leave your everything at the altar because you can leave today free. You can leave with joy. You can leave with peace. You know, when the sun was turning around, the father didn't go, oh, here he comes. Everyone, all my neighbors, bow your heads, close your eyes. Can we have a keyboard, please? He's walking to the father's house. No, there was joy. Get the party ready. The father says, guess what? I'm running to you. So what I want all our pastors to come to the front and I want you to line the front. Pastor, you, Sarah, you're a pastor. Margaret, you can do, you're a pastor. Anyone that looks like a white, you're a pastor. Yeah, come to the front. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna sing this song one more time. I will follow. Now listen, we've never, oh, this is like, oh. Maybe you look at your neighbor next, you go, hey, you want to go? I'll go with you. Because there's no shame. We have to break that cycle that as if there's shame. The only shame is to stay in your seat and to leave the way you came. That is the shame. There is no shame to say, God, I need you. Thank you, God, for setting me free. I need my joy back. I need my peace back. If that's you, I'm talking to everybody in this room right now. If that's you, come on, even now, you can just begin to break your religious spirit. Get out of that awkward sense of discomfort and say, you know what, I need to come. Is there anybody who wants to come? Come out of your seat. This is new. This is different. Yeah, good on you. Go for it. Go for it. Come on. There's many in this seat who want to come. This is your time. I will follow. Come on. We'll wait for you. I'm out.
you'll take a while, but come.
I love this. But you know, we are wrestling with the older brother spirit in this place. There's some serious older brothers going, nothing to be joyful here. This is a little awkward. This is weird. And I'm gonna believe that half of us are younger brothers and half of us are older brothers. So turn to the person. I'm not telling you which one you are. Just turn to the person next to you. Do you want to go? Because I think I want to. And if you want to go, I'll go with you. So come on, take 20 seconds. No singing. Just turn around and say, do you want to go? Break something today. Today something's going to break over your life. Today, genuine repentance. That's it. Beautiful. Come on, turn around and say, I'll come with you. Don't be the older brother this morning. Don't be the older brother. There we go. 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 Come on. Come on. Here we go. One more time. One more time. Come, 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 come. Come, come, come. Can we firstly, everybody, give these wonderful people a massive, massive, come on. No older brother spirit in this house. No older brother spirit in this house. So, come on, let's all stretch our hands towards these beautiful people. We're going to pray. Let's just pray. And everyone in the front, I know you've got pastors with you, but if you can, join us with this. Repeat after me, but mean it in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I come home. Thank you for the gift of repentance. I'm sorry for my sin. Today, I turn around to higher ground and come home. Today, Lord Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me, change me, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. From this day, I'm forgiven, I'm clean, I'm accepted, I'm your child, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God, let joy fill the house. online, some of you need to turn around. Find higher ground. You need to decide to be in touch with someone and say, God, today my life changes. And to everyone in the congregation, just put your hand on your mind because I want to pray, Father, renew our mind to the way you see things. That we won't even have lunch without seeing things the way you see things. We won't see people the way we see them, but the way you see them. We won't see circumstances the way we see them, but the way you see them. Thank you for these wonderful, amazing, beautiful people at the front. I thank you that lives would be forever changed. I pray not one would be lost, but on that great day, everyone would find eternal life, eternal joy, eternal peace. Lord, let it be so radical. Let real salvation happen in the hearts of men and women today. I thank you, God, that you are the Savior of the world. You are the Savior of the world. And Lord, you can change their world. You can change their world. You changed my world. So Father, we pray that today, from this day, our church would never be the same again. We would see repentance totally different. Father, we would embrace repentance. We would run to repentance. We would joyfully go after repentance. Let it bring healing to relationships. Let it bring healing to the house. Let it bring healing and reconciliation to the world. Let it bring so much joy. Let it trigger so much joy. Let it trigger so much joy and peace. Father, we thank you that we get the joy of following you. We get the joy of going after you. Everybody at the front here, just one more time. Join us in the back. Lift your hands, open your mouth, and begin to tell the Lord, as for me and my house, I will follow you. One last time. One last time. We sing.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died for your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. So forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you're in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.